Morning. I also greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here and to worship together this morning. I do greet you in the name of Jesus, and it's because of him that we're able to gather here this morning. We're gathered again to look into God's word and be encouraged and strengthened in our walk with the Lord. Before we open your Bibles, I invite you to open your psalm books to page number 999A. As I considered some of the events of this past week, my mind went to the subject of peace. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of peace. Maybe it's a quiet scene out in the woods by a lake. Or maybe it's a fresh morning and the world has not yet woke up. Maybe that's what your mind thinks of when you think of peace. Or maybe it's a sleeping child. It's laying there, its needs have been met, it's cared for. There's a lot going on around it, but the child is laying there asleep. Well, Webster's defines peace as a state of tranquility or quiet. And as I thought about this song here this morning, the song was on my mind. I was touched by the way the author chose to describe peace by first asking a question and then giving the answer to that question. If you look at 999A in the hymns of the church, it's the song, Peace, Perfect Peace. Elijah, why don't you lead us in this song, number 999A. Let's sing it together and just think about the words as we sing it.
Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect.
What a beautiful song that is. I was just touched how the author asks a question and then gives the answer. And we'll look at that a little bit more as we go on. Just a little history on this song. It was written by a man named Edward Henry Bickersteth. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. He lived from 1825 to 1926, so almost 200 years ago. This man wrote many songs. Some other titles that he wrote that at least I recognize was Savior, Breathe an Evening Blessing, Near My God to Thee, and Little Drops of Water, which is the children's song, are the ones out of the list that I recognize, although there was many that he wrote. And Edward wrote this song one Sunday afternoon, pretty much as we have in our hymnals. He went to visit a friend who was dying, and he picked up a paper and a pen, and he wrote this song as he was there ministering to his friend. If you notice the verse there at the top of the song is Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." This is the peace that we long for, isn't it? That rest in our soul. That doesn't mean everything in our lives is going exactly maybe the way we had it and had planned, but we place our lives and our trust in an almighty God, and we are resting there. And we can best experience this peace maybe when we are going through a difficulty, through a difficult thing. That's when this peace can be experienced the best, quite possibly. Verse 1, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. It's a question. How is that possible? And then the author gives us the answer, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Can there be peace in a world that is so dark with sin? We look around us, there's so much unrest, so much difficulty. And even as we say that, we're here in this quiet place, this peaceful place. And things seem so stable around us. But we live in a broken world. And we look around and we see the brokenness that sin brings into our world. And I hope our heart aches as we see the effects of sin ruining lives around us. We look around us, we see this darkness and chaos. The war that's going on in Russia. The millions of displaced refugees. Maybe it's the political direction of our country. And on we can make the list. Yes, it's there. We can't just ignore it. But the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Excuse me. Verse 2, peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed. To do the will of Jesus, this is rest. So this line asks us, do we have duties that are pressing us down, responsibilities that are pressing us down? Maybe it's there's another diaper to change, or there's another meal to make. The baby was up 4 times last night, but the alarm rings at the same time because it's time to get up and to get those school lunches packed again. That pressure is on us. Maybe this side of the house, there's that living to be made. There's hospital bills to pay. The basement has water in it again. The neighbor needs help with the project. And you can just add your situations to that list. And those things come pressing on us. Seems like we just can't get everything done that needs to get done. And those pressures of life start to press us down. But the song says, the will of Jesus, this is rest. When we're finding our place, there's rest there. Verse 3, peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. But Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. Sometimes the future can look scary to us. We can't see very far forward, and we don't know how everything is going to work out. Sometimes this can rob us of our peace. But it's as the song says, Jesus we know is on the throne, and that brings peace to us. Verse 4, peace, perfect peace, death shadowing us and ours. Jesus has vanquished death and all its powers. Sometimes death comes close to us and we face the loss of a loved one. And it seems like we just can't hardly move forward from that. Mike lost a family member, a grandmother. Yesterday, a dad from Rarisburg ran over his small child. Terrible things. Jesus has vanquished death and all its powers. We have hope of eternal life. Verse 5. Earth's struggles soon shall cease, and Jesus calls to heaven's perfect peace. So even if we're in a difficult situation here, we have the hope of eternal life and life with Jesus to look forward to. And it's only a short time until we are eternally in God's presence, where the things that seem so difficult today will be past. And maybe that thing makes you think of the verses in Matthew 11, verse 28. This peace that this song is talking about, it's way more than just a serene place here on earth or a quiet place. It's this peace is a deep peace within us, and it gives us rest to our souls. Excuse me. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, well, you know it by heart. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the peace and the rest that we want to look at this morning. Rest unto your soul. That's the rest that was in the song that we looked at. The world around us can be falling apart, but in our soul, there is rest. Soul rest. And this is the only place where peace, perfect peace, can be experienced. And that's the rest that man is looking for. Man goes to great lengths to try to find that inner peace. All kinds of places. We can look all kinds of places. But Jesus is the one who gives us that peace. John 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as this world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Those are words of Jesus. As I consider peace, I see three different aspects of peace and the way peace is experienced. I want to look at those this morning. So just three simple points of peace. And the first one is just peace with God. Second one, peace in my soul. And then peace in my relationships. I'd like to think about peace with God, first of all. And I want to think about it first for a couple reasons. But peace with God is the most important, if we could even separate what peace is. But peace with God is foundational to any other type of peace that we can experience. This morning, in Sunday school, we looked at creation of man and that state of perfection. And we could imagine how peaceful that garden might have been, that perfect peace. But we know, like in our next lesson in Sunday school, we're going to look at is the fall of man. And how that peace was shattered by sin. Shame and guilt came into the situation. To the point where Adam hid himself from the presence of God. He didn't want to see God. He didn't want God to see him. And that peace with God, and even that peace in his own heart, was gone. And you see how quickly that lack of peace in that relationship between Adam and Eve, it quickly deteriorated. Because the peace was gone. The peace was shattered. They began to blame each other for the sin and whose fault it was. And the peace in their relationship was gone. We know, just stepping into chapter 3 of Genesis, that God pointed forward to a time where there would again be peace in this relationship, where he would bring through the seed of a woman the great plan of salvation that was before the foundation of the world, and again would restore that peace. So I invite you to turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 5. Excuse me, on how this peace would come together, how this peace would return that was in the garden, peace through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, start reading in verse 1, and let's read through verse 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, how do we enter this place of perfect peace with a holy God, with a creator God who created us in an imperfection. And then in our, as we saw in our lesson this morning, in our choice, we stepped away from that. But Paul teaches us here, says being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we reach out in faith, as we reach out in the provision of the blood of Christ, that peace again comes in that relationship between us and God. It's a very simple concept. We know this well. It's just the simple plan of salvation. That relationship of peace is restored, and we can become in right standing. The word justified there means just as if we had never sinned. That peace is restored in that relationship, and we can again have that peace. But it goes on to say here, not only so, but we glory in tribulation. So that peace is not going, doesn't mean that we step away from trials or difficulty. We're actually going to experience them, but it's for our good, and it brings hope to our lives. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read two verses there with a similar thought. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of Christ, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We like to take before and after pictures, don't we? Snap a picture of something that needs repaired, needs taken care of, and then we come back later after the job is finished and we take a picture of it. I think this is a beautiful before and after picture of what the work of Christ does in our lives. He reconciles us unto himself, and those of us who were alienated enemies in our mind by wicked works, he reconciles. He brings that peace in that relationship. That's what reconciliation is, bringing two parties together who were not at peace before are now brought together in peace. And we become holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What a beautiful before and after picture of what the work of Christ does for us in bringing peace between us and God. Isaiah 53 verse 5, we know that verse well. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The work of Christ in our lives brings peace to the relationship between us and God. And that happens through repentance. I want to read a couple verses on how this peace comes into our relationship. Psalms 34, verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So yes, our relationship is restored through Jesus Christ, but we need to repent, depart from evil, repent of our sin, and turn to him and find peace. 1 Peter 3, verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Isaiah 48, verse 22 says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. If we're living in sin, we have not applied the blood of Christ, we're not going to experience this peace with God. There's only one way to experience peace, and it begins with turning away from evil and reaching out to God for his forgiveness. Peace starts with peace with God. We will not know that peace until we have applied the blood of Christ to our lives. Trying a little harder on our own, or sinning less, or self-justification, or whatever way we try to take care of that question of what about tomorrow, that peace will not be in our relationship with God. Isaiah 32, verse 17 says, and the work of righteousness I like that word there. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness and quietness and assurance forever. It's Isaiah 32, verse 17. Not works that we can do brings peace to that relationship, but only the work of righteousness and the work of Christ can bring that peace into our hearts. Excuse me. Second aspect of peace I'd like to look at is peace in our hearts, peace in our soul, that soul rest that we read about in Matthew chapter 11, the invitation that Christ gives to all to come and I will give you rest. But then he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, take my yoke and learn of me and ye shall find rest unto your soul. That's in my own words, obviously. But soul rest, where our soul is at rest, this is not the rest you get by going to the cabin or having a long weekend. But this is soul rest, peace in our hearts. And this is the rest that comes from laying our burden of sin down and picking up the yoke with Christ and moving and journeying on. This is the rest that the world is looking for but can't find it. There's lots of things the God of this world would try to substitute for this rest, but it leaves us empty. Romans 8 says it this way, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That peace comes to us when we have a mind change in what we're pursuing in life and what we're looking for from life. It's difficult, always looking for the next thing that my flesh wants, because there's just never enough. We'll always need to keep feeding that next thing. We want to find that meaning and fulfillment in life, so we pursue things and we try to get it, but we end up feeling empty. The quote I thought was really good. It says, you can't expect God to be the source of your peace when the world is the source of your satisfaction. What's giving us satisfaction and meaning in life? And that will be the source of our peace. Colossians 3 verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule. And that word rule there means dictate or umpire in your hearts. I'll just read it so better for flow. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. So when we find peace, when God, to use the analogy of the umpire, he is the one calling the balls and the strikes. When he dictates our lives, that's where we find peace and joy in our hearts. And of course, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. We know that from Galatians 5. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. We can lay a lot of things to rest in our soul if we follow a pattern from Philippians chapter 4. So let's turn there. We're in Colossians. Let's just turn back to Philippians chapter 4. Let's read verse 4 to 7. And this is how we can find peace in our hearts. After we are at peace with God, we can find peace in our hearts. Start reading in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And verse 7, which I already read, I started backwards. I'm sorry about that. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love the recipe here for soul rest. First one is in verse 4, rejoice. When we are thankful and we are able to rejoice in the things that life brings to us. They're not always what we would choose, maybe, but when we're able to rejoice in them anyway, it brings a rest to our souls. Second one is moderation. Let all things be done. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Moderation brings rest to our souls. Not extreme one way or the other, but just a middle of the road, a moderation. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. We can get worried about a lot of things that we can't even change. But Here we can just bring those things to God in prayer, which is the next one. Pray about these things, and it brings rest to our souls. And that prayer, Paul gives us the recipe here of what that prayer can include. Thankfulness, and of course, asking God for the things that we need. And that brings rest into our souls. Soul rest. When we find our place, when we find rest and we place our lives in God's hands, it brings rest to us. John 16, verse 33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So we can have that peace that Christ is victorious and that he is leading us in the world. He has overcome, and that can bring rest to our souls. And the third aspect of peace is peace in relationships. We read earlier how the world has a solution for peace, and Christ has a solution for peace. That applies to relationships as well. The world attains peace in relationships in one of two ways. First one is superior strength and domination. That's how they find peace. I thought about August 6th and 9th of 1945. The United States dropped atomic bombs on two cities in Japan. And it killed an estimate of 129,000 to 226,000 souls. It brought an end to World War II. But was that a solution of peace? This action brought surrender just a couple days later. But this type of peace only lasts until the person can drop the next biggest bomb. And peace, is that a way to pursue peace? No, it's the world's option. We'll talk about that a little bit more. The other option is to build walls in relationships. Just cut the relationship off. Sometimes these walls go straight to the middle of families. Brothers and sisters who will not talk to each other. Friends who, over the silliest things, cut off a relationship and just throw up that wall. Church families, brotherhoods, over trivial matters, build these walls. And that's the world's solution for peace. Well, if I can't have peace with that person, I'll just ignore them. I'll just avoid that situation. But that's not the peace that we're talking about this morning. We're talking about a peace with God, and we are at rest in our souls and in peaceful relationships with our fellow men come out of that. In fact, Jesus said our relationship with our fellow man is an indicator of our relationship with God. John 13, verse 35 says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another." 1 John 3:10, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Puts a lot of weight on our relationships, doesn't it? Of course, Hebrews 12, verse 14, "Follow after peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." We often focus on the holiness aspect of that verse, but there's also a truth there that if we're at not peace with men, we can't see the Lord. Romans 14, 9, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another." So peace in relationships, it takes more than the natural man. I was impressed again at how someone who is at peace with God in their hearts will present himself in relationships. I thought about the story of Joseph. We can go back there to Genesis and look at that story. So Joseph was treated horribly. He was sold by his brothers, taken down there to Egypt. And we could say that life handed Joseph some very difficult things. And they did, and it did. God was working out a purpose in Joseph's life. We can stand on this side and look back and see the whole story. But think about Joseph being in that situation. It was incredible how he responded. And there in Genesis chapter 45, he's revealing to himself to his brothers. And multiple times he mentions in Genesis 45 that God is the one who sent me here. It wasn't you all that sent me here. God sent me here. And then as their father passed away, and their brothers are coming there before Joseph, and they're afraid because of how they had treated Joseph. And they thought, well, now our father has passed away. We'll see how long this peace lasts in our relationship. And they were afraid of Joseph, what Joseph would do next. And in Genesis chapter 50, Joseph says this. He says, fear not. Don't be afraid. It's not my turn to drop the bomb, or it's not my turn to build the wall. He says, you meant it for evil to me, but God meant it for good. And you can see that peace that was in Joseph's life, that he had laid those things down. He wasn't holding those grudges in a relationship, but he had let them go, and he had allowed God to direct his life and to influence his life, and it brought peace in the relationship between him and his brothers, who had obviously wronged him so greatly. This is peace more than just not getting even. He had released it and recognized that God was in control of all things. How is it in your life and my life this morning? Do we have peace? Do we have peace with God? Do we have peace in our souls? Do we have peace in the relationships around us? As we look into our hearts, where are we with that? Yes, it seems presumptuous to say that we can be at peace with God. But as we saw in the scriptures, through the work of Jesus Christ, we can have that peace, that this relationship can be restored through the work of Jesus Christ. Peace in our hearts. Are we at rest with what God is doing in our lives? Are we struggling with that? Yes, we're human. Sometimes we struggle with what God asks of us. But are we at peace in our hearts and peace with those around us? This past week, we saw death claim someone who worshiped with us. And that could be any one of us. And as we reflected there at the funeral, life brings all of us to a stop. And the opportunity to restore relationships is over. And I just ask us this morning, how is our relationships with our fellow men? And of course, with God. I'd like to close with a verse from 2 Peter 3, verse 14. It says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's my prayer for myself and for all of us this morning, that when Christ would come back for us, that we'd be found in peace. Obviously, peace in our relationship with God, peace at rest in our souls, and of course, at rest with those around us. Let's pray.
Pray that for someone here this morning who is not right with you, who is not at peace with you, I pray that you would speak to them, that you would take care of that today, while there's time. Lord, just pray also for those who may be at unrest in their soul, difficulties in life, or facing big obstacles, or do you know what they are, and you just give each of us strength for the journey you've called us to. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us in our relationships with our fellow men. Lord, help us to love each other, to be encouragement to each other, and lift each other up. Just go with us as we go from here.